Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I convinced them I had to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to moccasin Joe. Where the party gonna have? Out in the St. John's swamps. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hey, good buddy. I'm doing good. How's everybody else?
Doing all right.
Outstanding.
Well, listen, I got to tell you guys, I've been up for 17 and a half hours. And I promised today that I would come on and explain to people where we're going to be going, what we're going to be doing. And let's get right into it, because I'll tell you right now, folks, this is going to be one hellacious expedition. And I don't know if you guys out there understand what's going on, but these creatures are on the move as we speak. And what does that really mean, on the move as we speak? These things, they're getting all these crazy weather situations all around this country, as usual. They're confused. They don't know which way to go and what's up, which end is up. But that's okay, because this is going to be better for all of us. But we're going to be filming for the next couple of months. starting right around the 20th of this month. I got everybody flying in on the 18th, and then we're taking Old Blue, and we're off on the road. And I got some good news that we also added Rocky. That's right. Good old Rocky from Arkansas. He's been part of our family for a bunch of years now. And I got to tell you, folks, he says, I wouldn't miss this for the world, Tom. And he says, besides that, he said, I got cabin fever, and I got to get out. So it's going to be Rocky. It's going to be me. It's going to be Rob. It's going to be TJ. It's going to be Mikey. As a matter of fact, Rob, are you on the phone? Are you on the show?
He's not on. Yeah, I didn't see his number.
No. Rob ain't going to get on. He's probably still at work.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, whatever. Anything. Anyway, I'm going to tell you this. I've been getting calls from Pennsylvania. I've been getting calls from Florida. I've been getting calls from Ohio. I've been getting calls from North Carolina. And it's crazy, 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 folks. I mean, these things are on the move. And not just that. I mean, my gosh. You know, normally on Fridays we get a lot of drunks and crazy people.
No,
it's all changed, okay? We're getting some serious people that have had some serious encounters.
Sound like me.
And I'm very proud of that. Marco, do we have a bunch of people on there that's unmuted? I'm hearing a bunch of.
I know somebody just somebody's talking in the background. We got everybody on there.
Okay. Well, if you guys can give me the courtesy of trying to listen instead of talking,
put
I'd appreciate it.
Put your phones on mute, or we'll just kill everybody out.
Thanks, TJ. Thanks. I appreciate that. Okay. So, folks, what I'm trying to tell you, this is probably going to be my last hurrah, but it's going to be the biggest bang going out. And the biggest bang being, hey, there's a lot of creatures on the move. I'm going to have the top A team with us. And remember what this whole thing started off as, okay? All the people that we met across this country and this. Okay. Well, Marco, if you don't mute that person out or shut them off the show, I'm going to get off the show. I guess I lost everybody. Is that right? Okay, good. Sorry, guys.
Marco.
TJ.
Oh, who's this, Ray?
Sweet.
Hey, Sweet, how are you? Guess it's you and me.
Okay, I got the bummed up knee. I was just sandbagging listening. I don't know what happened to the rest of the guys.
You know, we had some people on here messing stuff up, so we muted them out. Looks like they're all muted, but we're going to be bringing everybody back in here, and we'll be back on live in here in a second. It looks like a few people have dropped. But, Sweet, how's been everything going up over there? Anything happening?
Oh, not too much. Me and Rocky's just been, we've been consumed with personal stuff, and we haven't really got to get out too much. I know Rocky's real excited about hitting the road with Tom and you guys and getting to do it. I wish I could come along, but I've got too many commitments, and I can't get away. And I got myself hurt, kicked in the knee by the cow, and it about ruined me, so. Anyway,
well,
that's not a big
thing.
I'll get over it.
I'm sure you hurt the cow.
Let me tell you, I wanted to.
Kill you, brother. you know. Outstanding. Well, if you want, you can go back on mute, and I'm going to bring in our first guest, Ray. Marco, let's bring Ray on the show.
Okay, hold on one here. Ray is one of the guys that dropped off. Oh, no, he's not. Ray, you're on.
Hey, Ray, how are you evening, buddy? Thanks for joining us.
Oh, good to be here.
You know, folks, let me give you a little preview on Ray. You know, we talked a couple of weeks ago, and Ray got a hold of me. He has probably one of the most unique encounters that I've actually heard about. Now, I've heard it not once, twice, three times in my career doing this, and this is only the third time that I've heard it actually happen this way. And this was back in 2016 where Ray had an encounter, but I'm not going to ruin it for him. I'm going to let him talk about it because he's very good at talking about it. And the encounter happened while he was out camping, and he was in his camper. But, Ray, why don't you come on and tell us where you were at back in 2016 and what was going on.
All right, 2016, that was my fifth year on the lease. It was actually a hunting lease. And that was the actual sighting. Things happened. It actually started about 2012 where, let's see, setting up my feeder. I tested it, and I had it along a fence line. There were some thick woods across the fence line. And, well, when I actuated it, threw the corn, tested it, everything checked out. I went to the car, and I had my back towards it. Then it sounded like it actuated again. I turned back, and I looked, and the feeder wasn't doing anything. But it sounded like the noise was coming from the other side of the fence line. Then later on that year, this is 2012 I'm talking about, that's when after the deer season, what happened was me and my cousin went back. Now, that was the only time I could take guests before and after deer season.
Right.
Me and my cousin Marcus went back, and we drove into the camp area. I mean, the grass is real high, the weeds and stuff in camp. We just loaded up our guns, and we walked out in the field. We're hog hunting. And this is got there about midnight. We walked into the property, walked to the right. I mean, this is we had a good full moon. We're just walking without, you know, without lights. Just when we hear something, we turn on our lights. Walked to the right side of camp, didn't see anything. Walked to the left side in the field. My cousin sees some eye shine. I had just sighted in my laser, my scope, and everything. Man, I had these eyes, you know. Across the field, real low to the ground. I put my beam on it on the forehead, if it was a forehead. And then I turned everything on. I told my cousin, too bad we don't know what it is. You know, we need to know what our target is. I said, it could be a cow. You know, but anyways, we heard coyotes. We went and sat in a camper, or in a two-man stand on the left side of camp.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing happened until about 3:45. We go back into the car to get some sleep. I mean, not even 30 minutes later after that, it sounded like we're surrounded by coyotes. And they were all, you know, yapping. But there was a yell in there, a howl that was, I mean, you could feel this vibration in your chest, you know. Couldn't see anything. I was looking with my mag light. But that's all that happened that year. The following year, during archery, I was in my tree stand. Or actually not a tree stand, but it's a tripod stand, looking at my feeder along the fence line. Well, across the feeder, and then you got the woods. There's an evergreen tree and a hardwood tree behind it. As the morning was coming up, man, next to that hardwood tree, I mean, it looked like just the shape of a head, you know. Not a big head.
Right.
Head the size of mine or ours. And but it was on the side of the tree, and I kept looking at it, and I was like, nah, it's got to be the tree. But as the sun came up, you know, it got to, I mean, it was there to 10 in the morning. And the thing about it, I mean, I just got to where I look at, I couldn't see eyes, but I could see, like, thin lips and a heavy jaw on this thing, you know.
Right.
And when I finally jumped down out of the tree, out of the tripod stand, thing was gone, and I was like, oh, shit, that thing was there. You know, it really, you know, it was something. That's all that happened that year. The following year, I'm in that same tripod stand, and seen some coyotes across the fence line. I had my AR-15. I thought, well, shit, I haven't seen any deer. I'm going to shoot some coyotes. So I stayed in my tripod till it got dark. I had a tactical light on there. Never seen the coyotes. It got real dark. Everybody had already went to camp. So I get down. I start walking to the left down an overgrown road. The brush that I'm sitting up against, camp is on the complete opposite side of it.
Right.
So I end up walking down to the left to walk around all this. I go down. When I get down to the end of the overgrown road and it starts going to the field, there was like a shriek or a growl kind of to my left in the brush. And I turn on my light, and I'm looking. All I can see is the brush, you know. So I turn off the light. I continue walking into the field, and I didn't actually hear steps, but what I heard was like movement, you know, paralleling me. And I ended up turning on my light two other times. I still couldn't see it. The fourth time I turned on my laser, and I just kind of walked it through the woods. It made a noise, and it started moving away from me. You know, and but I didn't see anything. I didn't hear steps. You know, I could just hear twigs breaking. So I blew it
right
off. You know, I went on to camp. Right now, the fourth year, that was when we were getting ready for archery, and that's when I had Rob with me. And we got there about midnight. We did a night hunt. All right. Now, we actually ended up sitting in a two-man stand. That day, nothing happened that night, but that day, you know, I go and fill up the feeders, and, you know, we're farting around out there, but that evening, we go get in the camper.
That's it,
and
yep.
As we're in there, I'm tired. You know, we've been up the whole night before. I'm already laying down in bed. I got the curtain closed. Rob's still settling down. He's going to sleep on the couch section. And he's by the front door. You know, I'm sleeping close to the bathroom by the back door, you know. So so I'm laying there, man, and this camper just starts rocking left and right. You know, I mean, side to side. And I'm like, oh, crap, you know. And I pull the curtains open. I look at Rob. He's got one leg propped out holding himself, and he's, like, looking around, and he's got his back towards me. And I just closed the curtain. I said, you know, he's not panicking. I'm not stepping outside. And so I went to sleep. All right, and I was ignoring it. Well, sometime before sunlight, I don't know exactly what time it was, but I had to use the bathroom. Now, we had electricity but no water hookups. So I go in through the bathroom, go to the back door. The doors, I've always had a habit of latching them. I always lock them. And,
right.
So I unlock it, push open that back door, step on the steps, take the piss. And the camper lights on the out. There's one over that bathroom, but I didn't know where that switch was at the time. It was a friend of mine's camper, the one who actually got under the lease. But I knew where the front door was, so we had that orange camper light on. Well, anyway, so after I used the bathroom, I just closed the door. I locked it. I turned around to walk out, and the door handle, I mean, it's a latch. You know, you got to stick your fingers in it to open it. This thing
right.
gets pulled on. It gets pulled on twice. And I stop and I look at it. And up to that point, I never said the word Bigfoot, you know?
Right.
But what else is going to grab it? What else is going to grab and pull on for? You know? And so I went in and I woke up Rob. I said, Rob, what do you think about the camper shaking last night? He goes, man, it felt like something was under us. He goes, not only that, he said, when you were asleep, something was grabbing on the front door. And I was like, damn, you know. I said, man, something just
right.
grabbed on the back here. And so he starts tying his shoes. And that's when I thought, I said, look, man, it sounds like Bigfoot's got something to say to us. I said, let's step outside and see what he wants. You know, and he's tying his shoe and he stops, you know, and he looks at me.
Right.
And I said, where are you coming? He goes, well, I'm not staying here by myself, you know. So he grabs the Mini 14. I put my pistol, I just tucked it in my pants. Wanted to look unarmed, you know, really. And we stepped out. It's cold out, you know, where, you know, you've got steam coming out of your mouth. But we step out there. It's dead silent, you know. Had a cigarette. Nothing happened. Smoked another cigarette. Nothing happened. So my mag light was actually in the car, and that was in the shadows. And So I went over to the car then. I got my mag light. I looked around. I mean, the grass around camp, you know, it's kind of trampled, but, you know, you couldn't really define anything, you know. It could have been animals going through. It could have been, you know. That was before archery. And so when I start, I'm available to go. I call the hunters up. Nobody can make it. And I'm thinking to myself, shit, I'm not going out there by myself with the crossbow and, you know, a pistol, you know. So I waited until the following week. The owner of the camper, him and his son went. They actually got there Friday evening and did their Saturday morning and evening. And it was Saturday night when I got out there. They were inside the camper eating dinner. I still had to work on my ghillie suit. We've got like a screen porch outside. 7 foot tall, I guess about 12 to 15 feet long and about, I want to say, 7 feet wide or so, you know. It's off the weekend, though. And we had a grill in there, so that's where we cook. Well, I went in and I talked to Jesse. I was like, hey, man, told him what happened, you know, about the camper shaking. And right away, his son was like, man, you're on some good stuff, weren't you? I said, dude, I mean, I told him, I said, man, look, something shook the crap out of this camper, you know. Nick, I'm on the phone, so hold on. All right, I'll be in. No, and sorry about that, my son. But
no problem.
Now, what happened was I explained to Jesse, I was like, man, the camper got shook, you know, and so he tells me, he tells me they've been hunting that property for 29 years. He says he never locks the door. He's never experienced anything. And I asked him, I said, have you ever hunted at night? He said, no. He goes, there you go. You stepped it up. And I said, I guess so, man. You know, I mean, when I first got on there, I used to walk. I got a full ghillie seat, you know, and I would stalk around out there, and I never felt nothing, you know. But it did kind of get to a point where when I started going out there, I would get a feeling like, you know, something's watching me, to where I'd get out of the car, I'd scan around with the flashlight, grab some stuff, put it in the camper, come out, scan around. You know, it was just an odd feeling. Started to get to that, you know. Well, the 2016, it was me and my cousin Zachary. We had gotten out there. Oh, no, wait, let's back up. When after I talked to Jesse and his son, I went into the screen porch, and I hung up my ghillie suit, and I started taking the knots out of the screens. And what happened was, where we drive in to our camp area, you actually pass by the owner's house. You know, he's got an old shed and his garage that we kind of drive in between. Well, I could hear, like, these light steps coming from that area, like, to me, and then I'd hear, like, soft steps going away from me. Then I hear them come back and go away. And so I would step out of the screened area, and I'd hit my flashlight. But, you know, there's some brush, you know, trees and stuff right in the way. So, I mean, I can't see through it. But I'm thinking to myself, I need to hurry up and get inside, you know. And so as I'm working with these screens, I hear these steps come back again. And then a rock comes through the trees, and it hits the outside of the deck, you know, outside of the screen porch.
Right.
And so I'm getting nervous on this. You know, I've got my pistol with me, though. And but I hurry up and get inside, and, of course, Jesse and his son are in there. And where these steps were coming from, it was opposite of where the camper was. You know what I mean? So I would have heard the door open. I mean, from my line of sight, I could see the side of the camper. You know, his son didn't sneak out, you know, but I didn't bring it up to him. I didn't mention it. Now, All right, now going through that hunting season, nothing happened. But now 2016, this is where me and my cousin Zach, we got out there.
Well, we have to back up a second here. We got to back up a second. How big was the rock, Ray?
It didn't sound like anything big. I mean, it was just a good knock on the wood.
Something just to get your attention.
Yeah. And,
okay.
Now,
wait a second, Ray. Wait a second, because you see, you said a few things that you know make a lot of sense, and I got to pipe in here. You know, A, you're hog hunting. B, it's nighttime. C, you go there an awful lot, and after a certain amount of time that you're there, you're starting to get all this activity. You know, it almost sounds like what goes on in Fred, Texas, with Kelly. How far are you from Fred, Texas?
I'm in between Dallas and Houston, down in Leon County. And when I describe, I talked to an investigator,
mm-hmm.
and when I described the face, she said that she thought it might have been a juvenile. And she thinks that it was probably the juvenile playing with me. I don't know. But
That makes sense.
Now, when it came to the sighting itself, now what happened on that? We did an all-night hunt. It was me and Zach. And the reason why I do the all-night hunt because it takes me 2 hours to get there. But by the time I finish doing the things I got to do here at the house, it's always close to midnight by the time I get down there.
Right.
So I would just go ahead and go on out there and hunt and then, you know, figure out sleep during the day.
Sure.
Now, what had happened was, when me and Zach went out there, did our night hunt, nothing happened. Now, if you can picture in camp that evening, he goes into the camper. Well, we both went in. I happened to have the iPad at the time. And what it was, Cheryl told me, she said, take the iPad with you. She goes, Nick's my son, you know. She didn't want to have his grounded from it. She didn't want him, you know, complaining about it. And so I have it in there. I have the car charger, though. So what I ended up doing was the battery is low. I went to the car. Now, I'm pulled up next to the screen patio. And the screen patio is, like, almost directly in front of the camper. Well, actually, more my car was more in front of the camper. The screen patio is in my back, right behind me, and I'm at the passenger door. And then back left is the garage, the white garage, the owner's garage. Now, I was bent down there. I was plugging it in, trying to plug it in, and I heard a noise by the garage. I got my mag light. I walked back there by the garage. I looked around, had my pistol in my hand. I didn't see anything. I went back to the car, trying to plug this in. I heard another noise. But this time, I thought Zach dropped something inside the camper. It sounded like the camper floor, you know?
Right.
So I'm bent down in the car, getting this thing plugged in, and the third noise I heard was to my back right. And what I did is I didn't stand up. I just stayed bent over. I just grabbed the mag light. I just flicked it back to look behind me, and I just looked over my shoulder. And what I seen was the reflection of an eye. It's a greenish yellow eye, but this thing was above the screen porch, and it's like peeking over, looking at me. And this thing was probably about the size of a golf ball, maybe a little bit bigger. And I was like, no effing way.
Right.
I pulled my pistol out, I stood up, and I looked at it. This thing looks away, and it looked at me, and I seen both eyes. And this thing's looking over the screen patio, the porch. I got
how high was that?
The porch is about 7 foot. I want to say I think it was 7.5, 8 foot.
Okay.
And now when I seen it, I got a chill that just went through me down my back. I mean, right now as I see it, the hairs are sticking up on my arms. Every time I talk about that, you know, I get these goosebumps. But the thing that I got from it was the impression I got from it was like, oh shit, I've been caught, you know. Like I caught him, you know. And
a peeping Bigfoot.
Well, I mean, the thing was, it was like my fear went away. And so I actually walked straight towards the camper, and it scooted back to where when I had my mag light on it, it was, he was, I want to say about 10, 15 feet away from me. Had his hands up. The white garage was right behind him, man. I had, when I was looking at it, I was calling for Zach. I had my pistol on it. I could see the eyes, and I could see the shingles, you know.
Right.
It wasn't threatening way. The way the impression I got was it was nervous. It was doing this side-to-side shuffle, like he didn't know which way to go, left or right. And, calling for Jack. He finally shifts to the right, and that's when I noticed on his knee that I guess the ash where it's worn. His knee is probably above. It's above my mid, you know. He turns to his right, and what I remember on that was on his face, I could see his forehead, and then it's, the rest of it seemed flat. And so, like, I guess hair hanging in front of his nose or what. I didn't see an outline of a nose. But he took two steps, and, I mean, it was like he took out, I mean, took two steps to my left, you know, and here's the garage. I mean, I just went like that with my mag light, and when I swung it around, I mean, the eyes popped up, and they were, I want to say, about 20 yards away from me in into the trees, and it looked away, looked at me, and I told it, I said, I mean you no harm. He looked away, and he was gone. Well, that's when Zach comes out, you know, and I mean, here I've been up all night, you know, and I'm tired. But
damn,
I see that, I was wide awake, and I was I seen Bigfoot, you know, and Zach he's half asleep, you know, he's got this mag light that's not very bright, but he's just kind of looking around. He goes, all right, I'm going back. And I said, no, you're gonna effing wait for me, you know, and so we go to the car. I get this iPad plugged in. And, I mean, we get inside the camper, and that's all I'm talking about. And I just seen this thing, you know. I've been describing everything. Matter of fact, I got a sketch of it that I drew. And
yeah, I think you sent it to me, didn't you?
Yeah, I've got a sketch of that, and I've got a sketch of the little one that I seen.
Right.
The little one, now, he's the one that we seen the next day.
Well, hold on a second here. Ray, let me ask you a question, because I got to get a few questions in here, and we're going to have to hit a break real fast. So why do you think this creature has chosen you to you know, reveal itself to when you're down there?
You know, I've thought on that over and over. Now, I know Jesse had a book. It was a picture book. You know, things they've killed down there. And he told me, he said, man, if you see stray cats, you see a dog, you know, just get it out there and shoot it, you know. And that's what I got from the guys. They were shooting anything and everything. Bobcat.
Okay.
I would go out there, man. I mean, I would be by myself. I'd scope around. I'd get up in tree stands. I would scope raccoons. I would scope bobcat. I would scope anything in there. If I'm not going to eat it, I'm not going to shoot it, you know?
Sure.
And that's my mentality. I mean, I'm just not, you know, I'm not going to do anything that pops up. The only thing I've killed was a water moccasin down in the creek, you know, and that's at
good riddance.
Yeah, and I don't know if it was the ghillie suit, you know. They just told me, oh, you better be glad you didn't have esters on you, you know. Yeah, I know it. But
oh my goodness.
But you know, that's the only thing I can figure is I wasn't shooting everything that I seen. Now that one at night when I had my pistol on it, I mean, I could have pulled the trigger, you know, but, I mean, really, it wasn't even a thought in my mind because it looked like it was nervous. It wasn't threatening, you know. It was like I was trying to get away. And so when I get back in the camper, I'm talking with Zach, you know, he asked me, he goes, because you know, we were out in the open field areas that night, and he goes, are we going back out before sunup? I said, we're not. I said, we're going in the back. I said, we're going during the day. We're going to get some sleep. And that's what we slept until about 9:00. All right, so what we did is we drove out. past the owner's house, you know, back up to the road, there's a side gate that we went into, which actually goes down that overgrown road where my tripod stand was.
Mm-hmm.
We passed that. We go to the pad where at one point there was some drilling going on there. Park the car. We get out, and we start walking toward the back of the property. Now, as we're walking to the back, what we heard was like a flock of crows that were pissed, you know, like they were squawking like they were mad to our left.
Right.
And I had noticed some of the branches that were kind of weaved before and throughout time, you know, and I actually had some trail mix with me then. I hung some up in a tree. And so as we get to the back, you know, that's when we heard the crows. And then it died down, and then there was a yell that was chopped in tone, and then the crows went nuts again. And by then, we're in the back, and it gets quiet. I mean, it's like dead quiet, you know. I mean, all we can hear are just our twigs breaking with our feet. And we're in the getting into the thick cover, you know. Where you got a lot of trees. I mean, there are trails through there, but you know, you got a lot of brush in there also, you know.
Sure.
And so that's when Zach tells me, he goes, man, doesn't it feel like we're being watched? I said, Zach, I think we're being escorted. And he's got the M14. I've got the AR-15. I've got 530 round mags with me, you know. But I've always carried that because I always wondered what are the guys feeling when, you know, the guys overseas, you know, our military. I just wanted to feel their weight whenever I went down there, you know. And so as we're walking across the back from out towards the left, you know, going across the back of the property, we start cutting across. We come up to a rifle stand, which is Jesse Stunt's rifle stand. But anyways, we cross that, and there's a creek back behind there, and we cross the creek. Now, as we come out into the open field, the woods continue up. On our right-hand side, they continue up alongside us, and we got the open field that we're walking into, and it's on our left side, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So as we come up, there's also a pipeline that shoots across the property. Well, that's where we come up to the end of the woods right there, and across the pipeline, there's a smaller patch of woods, and there's a tree stand in there. I showed Zach. I said, man, there's a tree stand there. I said, you can get in that one. And to my right, on the woods that we just came out of, they could see up. I'd say about 30 yards down, there's another tree stand up against those woods. So I get in that one. So we got a clear cut between us, you know, a pipeline going between. And I'm sitting there. I hear footsteps come up to behind me. And these are actual footsteps. I stand up in the seat, and I'm looking back behind me. And I could see the base of the tree. I could see the branches moving on a tree. And I can't see it, though. And I'm thinking to myself, if this is a cow, I would see it. If this is anything, I would see it, you know. How come I can't see this thing? I mean, there wasn't nothing threatening. It was just the steps and then the branches moving. I sat down with my back towards it, and I'm thinking on this. And I look at Zach, and he's coming down off his ladder. He comes up to me. He goes, hey, I got some steps behind me. I said, Zach, I got steps behind me, too. So I climbed down off my ladder. I told him, I said, look, the woods that you were sitting up against are smaller. I said, you go to the – you go right, I go left. Let's go around them. Let's see what runs out. So he takes off to the right. I go into the left, so I'm back in the field, you know. He's more going towards the roadside, you know what I mean?
Okay.
But, you know, still – a lot of brush in between, but anyway, so as I come out, I look across the field to where we just come out of the woods, you know, when we cross the creek, and it's about 100 yards, and that's where I see the little one. Now, the little one, I call him little because he was about our size, about my size. I'm 5'7". This thing was squatting down with both his hands on the ground in front of it, but he was looking to the left. He wasn't looking at me. It's like looking to the left. I'm right outside the tree line. And I'm watching him through my scope. And, you know, I see the back of the head, the shoulders, tip of the nose, and partial on a cheek. And I'm thinking, man, Zach's got to see this, you know? So as I break away from it, you know, I take a right. Now I'm passing where Zach was sitting in that tree stand. So as I'm walking, the thing that walked up behind Zach starts walking with me in the brush.
And that's
where I say it's unnatural to me, was this thing's walking with me. It's during the day. I mean, you can see limited into the brush, right? But
right.
As close as it sounded to me, I mean, it's like this thing can just reach out and grab me. But I was looking in there, and I had my gun facing that way, towards him. I had my hand on the trigger, my finger on the trigger, but I couldn't see any movement. I couldn't see any. I could just hear steps with me.
Right.
Now, as we got to the end of the point, and what I mean by point is the one thin out to where it comes to a point, and this is kind of where we come in from camp, you know. There's a little road there. Well, this thing stops, and it turns around. I ran around that point, and I ran to where I could actually see into the next field, you know, the field that I just came off of. I got down on one end, I'm looking, I can hear this thing stepping, and it crosses my line of sight, and I didn't see anything. I didn't see any legs, I didn't see nothing. I stood up, and I was like, what the heck are you, you know? Now, this is on Sunday. I'm supposed to be at church, you know, and I'm thinking, all right, now, am I out here with a demon or what, you know?
But right.
As I'm standing there,
wow.
Zach starts to bring his way around, and he tells me, he goes, man, he goes, I could hear two people talking back there, like a man and woman. He said, but he couldn't understand what they were saying.
Right.
And then I told him about the little one that was across the field. So we end up both walking back to the car, getting in it, driving it across the field, and coming back. And I just kind of turned it around to where my driver's side was kind of facing into the property, you know, to where I'm scoping with my scope along that tree line looking for that little one. And as I'm scoping, this is where I see the big one. Now, the big one, this is the one I sent CJ the picture.
Right.
Now, what happened with that, I mean, was when I was scoping, I was actually looking along the tree line, and then I seen the movement up in the trees. And so when I looked, what it was he was facing to his right. And what happened was he just looks at me, ducks down, comes up, ducks down, and then he stood there. And this thing, and I'm telling Zach at the same time, Zach, I'm looking at one right now. And what he did, though, was he shook his head no. You know, this thing shook his head. Tell me, what I understood was don't shoot, you know.
Right.
And
Ray, and so Ray, said, I'm going to have you hold it right there because
all right.
I've got a lot of guests. And if I'd love to have you back on in a week or so or next week to finish this up, if that's all right with you.
Yeah, we can do it.
You know, I'm enthralled. I completely forgot about time, and I've got 6 more guests to run through. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man.
You got 15 minutes. But that's okay, you know. I'd love to have you back. I mean, I'm sitting here on the edge of my seat listening to everything you're saying and not paying attention to doing my job, but because it's that good. So I would love if you would come back, probably not next week or the week after. We'll give you a break, and we can continue with that. What do you think?
Yeah, just give me a call to remind me, you know.
I'll have my producer. He'll give you a jingle, absolutely. Hey, I want to thank you, you know, from the bottom of our hearts here, you know, Searching for Bigfoot, for coming on and, you know, extending us the courtesy of listening to your story. We know how hard it is for some people that, you know, have these encounters with, you know, are you nuts? No. Well, you're not. We belong to a special community of folks, you know, and I wanted to just say thank you. And, you know, if you want, listen to the rest of the show, you can put yourself on mute. Marco, let's hit a commercial, and we'll come on back with Kelly or Brian. What is next, Marco?
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I got to tell you,
That's the day I thought I was going to challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Wow, and Marco.
Yeah,
I'm
back.
Telling you, that story
hey,
of Ray
got,
is just awesome.
Kelly, Brian, Jimmy, and Theron. And a
all
big
right,
team just checked
up.
In.
I'm here.
Hey, Kelly, how are you, buddy? I'm trying to figure out how close he is to your lease, you know?
Well, I'm in Tyler County, Texas. I don't know where he's at.
Leon County.
Leon County. That's kind of further north. That'd be northeast. That's up there by
okay.
Love Lady, I think.
Okay. I'm just trying to wonder because you know him, the pig hunter's looking for him. He's pig hunting. I wonder if it's a direct route or maybe it's close enough to where they're migrating through. You know, it's a little bit later time than around by you.
I think that may be the Neches River goes up that direction. That may be.
Yeah.
I think that's where Leon County is. But, there's lots of pigs in Texas. They're kind of like liberals, you know. They're just everywhere. Except I think pigs are smarter, you know.
Yeah. We went there.
We went there, bro. We're going to go there again and again. Don't forget, November 6th, vote.
There you go. Get out and vote. There you go.
Yeah. Hey, since I'm not real intelligent, I just go to that one page that says straight Republican.
Yeah, that's the easy one, right?
Huh?
That's the easy one. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what's happened? Anything happened up by you?
Well, it's odd that y'all asked me to come on because about a week ago, last weekend, I was up there on a Friday evening by myself waiting for my help to show up.
Right.
And so I was going to do some stuff by myself. And down there probably about a quarter mile from the little shack on the creek, right? Man, I was going down into the woods, and Lord Jesus, I smelled something that smelled so bad. And the first thing I thought, oh, hell, where's he at? So,
right.
You know, I was busy, so I just, you know, kept rolling. You know, I'm armed. I ain't worried about nothing. And
sure.
I said, man, on my way back, I'm going to see if I can't walk around a little bit and find what direction that nice, pungent, sour odor's coming from. And I got back up there about 45 minutes later, and man, just nothing, you know. And every time, you know, we've been close to it, you know, if the wind's just right, man, you just smell it. You know, he really stinks, you know, and that, it makes sense. They call him the skunk ape in some places. And
yeah.
But, you know, I'm sure he doesn't take too many baths, right? But Dude, I mean, you know, it's been a continuous thing since, like, I think 2013 was when y'all came up there, or 2014.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was the winter of 2013. Yeah, yeah, that was it. But, you know, we've had footprints, people with sightings. I mean, you know, the howls, the big handprints and stuff. It's a continuous thing, and I don't know, maybe they just like hanging out with me, but, you know, I think it's more than that. You know, they got a good food source, they got running water, and, you know, it's got good areas that nobody ever goes in, hardly. So,
outstanding.
Yeah, you know, they like the seclusion.
Yeah, they do, you know. I'm trying to think, we're going to be in Texas. We'll probably give you a jingle, kind of swing by, just to kind of scope the area about that time again, I guess, this year. It'll be probably close to beginning of November or mid-November.
Yeah.
You got hunting going on then?
Yeah, there'll be hunting going on. The best time for y'all to come by when the most activity always is right in February.
Was it February? Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah,
that's
February
right.
is always
okay.
good because it seems like there's more activity in over the years at that time of the year. Very seldom is it early in the winter, you know, it's generally,
right. You
know, right
later.
After the first of the year.
Okay. Well, awesome, buddy. I really appreciate you coming on and giving us an update, letting us know what's happening. And, you know, hey, anything else goes on, you know where to give us a jingle, brother.
Oh, yeah, I'll send you a text.
And if you get over by Kelly, you got to remember, you got to get out there and vote that Republican November 4th. Got to get rid of them liberals out of Texas.
Yeah, well, November the 6th.
November 6th.
We want the liberals.
There you go.
Liberals vote on the 4th, and all the Republicans, they can go vote on the 6th.
You got it, brother. I appreciate you, Kelly. Thank you, my friend.
All right,
folks,
brother. Come by and see me.
You will. Folks, we're going to be moving on over to Brian in Georgia. What's happening out there, Brian?
Not a whole lot. I did take a trek out into my backwoods there the other day to see if I could see any signs of him making that noise on that
mm-hmm.
wood knock. And once again, I didn't see a thing. My shoulder, like I said, dislocated about 3 weeks ago. So if I fall even in the woods, it's going to hurt way more than it normally does. So I'm going to get that healed up before I really start trekking back in there and going back even to my old haunts where out in the middle of the Chattahoochee Forest where, like I said, I was looking for stuff that was on the satellite images.
Right.
And, you know, they've got satellite images that can x-ray into the ground, and there's stuff that's out in those forests that are mounds that were built by humans, definitely dug in the dirt that I was looking at for many years. And I'd like to get back out there and do that, but I swear this, whatever, you know, the thing that knocked on the wood behind my house sounded more like a weapon than anything. I mean, it knocked me clean out of bed, and it about made me throw up, too, by about the seventh knock. I was about to lose it mentally and physically.
I wonder if it was that infrasound that was coming through that. I wonder if anything has to do with that.
You know, the only thing I can think of is that either I made some freak college kid pissed off on the internet and he came behind my house with a sound weapon that he made, or it was Bigfoot or King Kong. Like I said, the first thought was King Kong. It just ripped up a big old tree and was in another tree. So I'd have to say it was Bigfoot, yeah, from what I hear of him doing other wood knocks. And I swear this thing came and found me.
Hey, you know, we can't figure out why or how or how it happens, but when this creature chooses us, it's there. It's there. You know, and we're the lucky ones. That's how we look at it.
Yeah, you know? And you know, and when I think about really going and looking for this thing,
yep.
You know, the way I look at it is I've been in the woods where I've gone, and most times I don't feel like I'm being watched in the woods, but every now and then I've been in the woods, and it just is an overwhelming feeling. And you know, now that this happened and with what I was looking for in the woods before, you know, just paranormal stuff almost, you know, you start thinking,
sure.
Wow, what are the connections?
Well, just like Jimmy up in Pennsylvania. You know, Brian, I want to thank you for coming on. I'm on the gun here. And we're bringing on Jimmy from Pennsylvania, who's a ghost hunter, and now he's believing in the Bigfoot, which, hey, we all heard a story about a month ago. How you doing, Brian? Jimmy?
I'm good. How you doing tonight?
Doing real good, brother. You know, I know you're rebuilding your website and everything. Why don't you just pop it out there for everybody so they know?
Oh, okay, sure. It's still under Ghost Hunters of the Civil War. And
that's right.
I am just working on it now, and so I'm trying to hurry up and get it done for everybody. But next week maybe I'll come back. I really want to talk about Bigfoot and hunting. All right, my friend.
You got it, man. You know, when Ray's, he's got such an intriguing story, sometimes I just kind of forget what I'm doing and I want to listen. But I do appreciate you coming on, Jimmy, and thank you. And next week, we'll let you talk.
All right, my friend. Sounds good.
Thank you. Hey, we're going to move over to Theron in Mississippi. How are you, Theron? What's going on?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. Every now and then, I have somebody come over and tell me, oh, so-and-so had a sighting, or I had a sighting. But the sightings continue around here, so it's usually...
Well, we can't wait to get out there, I'm telling you.
Yeah, it's usually... Now it's usually, you know, crossing the road, you know.
Yeah.
So it's mostly standing on the side of the road or crossing the road. So, yeah, we got activities still going on.
Good.
And we have one that was just staying here, and Mac Jackson named it Rusty because he had that rust color, you know, kind of orangish, you know.
Yeah.
So I think he had that last sighting 2 years ago, right there at the intersection. On the Highway 16, it's about a quarter mile, half a mile from the casinos, and the creatures that we have here, you know, they're walking around people's yards, backyards,
wow,
and walking around golf course, and you know, just
okay.
They're abundant around
coming
here.
On. You know, we're gonna we have to move on past, but I appreciate you coming on. We'll get you on in a week or so. We're going to have to move over to Big D from Oklahoma down
all right.
2 minutes. Thank you, Theron, for coming on, buddy.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you, Cap. It's good to be back on with you guys. I always enjoy myself. Sorry I showed up tardy.
No problem.
I didn't catch the first gentleman's name, but I'm like you. I was just enthralled. Wow.
Yeah.
You know, I hear a lot of encounters, but, you know, and some of them start to repeat themselves. Usually it's just a mundane sighting, not to take away from anybody's, you know, experience, but that was, you know, a true misadventure. There's a lot into it, and man, I can't wait to hear the rest of it, honestly. But
I'm with you, brother. Three encounters in three different years. It's amazing. He's been chosen. He's been obviously chosen. You know,
absolutely. Like you said, we don't know how they do it or why, but it does seem like some people kind of are drawn to these creatures, or the creatures are drawn to them for whatever reason.
Right.
I don't know if that's a curse or a blessing.
We got about 50 seconds. D, why don't you tell us what you've been up to and what's going on? Because I'm going to have you back in a week or two because we got to talk.
Yeah, absolutely. Bigfoot Dogman Research Project, we just hit 7,500 subscribers on YouTube. A gentleman named Kerry Arnold from Bigfoot Odyssey is coming down and shooting a Halloween special in our research area.
Awesome.
Looking forward to that. Going to Bigfootville, Anobia, this weekend for the big conference. Looking to do a little bit of traveling here in the near future, beginning of the year.
I got to ask,
try to hit up
go to that conference,
like
you support your Bigfoot gear? You're searching for Bigfoot?
You know it, man. I'm going to wear the hat for sure. I love the hat.
There you go, brother. You know, I had to just
yes,
throw you
sir.
On the spot for a second.
I love it.
D, I love you, brother. You are
love
a brother,
you too, Cap.
Another brother from Texas, man. Folks, we're
there you
at
go,
that
and,
time of the hour. And, you know, Dee, I want to have you back. I want to thank all our guests this
absolutely.
Evening. We had Ray from Texas, Kelly from Texas. We had Brian from Georgia, Jimmy in Pennsylvania, Theron from Mississippi, and Big D from Oklahoma. And, you know, we always have that normal crew on, but they didn't get to them last night. That's Leo and Doyle and Rocky. Guys, you all got 10 seconds each. Go ahead. Start with Rocky. Well, folks, guess they're not on anymore either. So, remember, Expedition Time's coming up. Get over to searchingforbigfoot.com. Check out that Yahoo page. Buy the gear. Support the group. Get out and vote November 8th, like Kelly said. And everybody here from Search for Bigfoot wants to say, have a great night. Miss Calabas, get out of the fridge. See you next week.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Night.
Good night.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a goal and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. Put them all together, reason for the facts.